Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and is the host of the Ben Jarofsky Show, which is his new radio gig on WCPT-AM. Congratulations, Ben.
Thank you, David.
How's it been going?
It's going really well. It's actually not that new anymore. Let's see. Hold on. I could do it. I believe I'm in week 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. So time flies when you're having fun, and I've been having a lot of fun. You were a guest on my show. We talked about bicycle riding. I took my usual swipe at the bike riders for being mindless puppets of whatever mayor gives them a bike lane. You defended the bike riders, and it was great radio.
I didn't defend them explicitly. I defended sort of the single issue voter, as I recall.
I see. All right. Well, whatever. We have to have you back. When's the close the drive? We'll have to be talking about that.
Bike the drive. That's isn't at the end
close
of
close the drive. Shut it down.
One lane for cars.
When they do bike the drive, don't they have it open only for bikes?
Right.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that's the mantra for bike advocates is
what was that dude's name?
Lane for cars.
Yeah, there was a guy, I wrote about him in the 90s or early O's, Burton.
Michael Burton.
Michael Burton, the great Michael Burton. And he was a closed Lakeshore Drive, a depave Lakeshore
right,
Drive.
Right, right. Yeah. Michael is a little more out there than one lane for cars. He wants zero lanes for cars.
Does
on
he
Lakeshore
still
Drive.
Hold to that?
I haven't talked to him about it recently, but I would be surprised if he didn't.
So he's not a bike rider who'll be bought off with a bike lane. He's not voting for Mayor Rahm just because Mayor Rahm paved a street.
Anyway, not sure. Yeah. I'm guessing most of our listeners don't know how you came by this gig.
Oh,
can you tell us about
it? Yeah, I've been subbing for a while. The Wayne Besson Show and the Dick Kay Show. Dick Kay is a legendary newsman. He has a Saturday show. And they wanted to go local. So they asked me to do it and was like, well, God, I was kind of nervous. You know, I've never done a radio show other than subbing. I said, you know, I'm kind of old, but I'm not that old. Let's try something new. So, well, again, it was 6 weeks ago, and it was great. I got to tell you, I've been having a lot of fun doing it.
I've been listening. You clearly slipped right into it. But it's not strictly true that you haven't done a radio program before, is it?
As I said, I substitute hosted several times. Can't remember how many times.
Before that?
Before that? Oh, my God. Have I forgotten something in my own life?
Not on the north side.
Oh, WHPK live. Pick it up. Yes, no, I did WHPK at a radio show in several incarnations in about 2010. My dear friend Devin Thompson and I, we just would sit and talk about politics and music and sports. And then Mick Dumke and I brought it back. I forget when. So, yeah. But this is really different than that. That was just a couple guys sitting around a station talking. And this is guests coming into the studio. That's my favorite. And guests, you know, calling in for brief interviews. And then, of course, the listeners who call in. We have exchanges and stuff. And I'm running a show and there's breaks for commercials and news. The really hard or difficult or challenging part of it, the craft of it, is the timing, I feel. That's what I've been sort of trying to learn as I go along, the timing of it. That's something you don't learn when you're at WHPK, where you just sort of free to talk the full hour and then leave.
Right, because there's top of the hour news, and then there's a certain number of commercials you have to do.
There's a certain number of commercials, so I always have my eye on the clock. And the real pros, the guys have been doing this forever. I've listened to radio my whole life. In some ways, this is really natural because I've been listening to radio ever since I was a little kid with a transistor radio plugged in my ear in my room. But lately, you know, since I started this gig, I've really been listening closer to like how they're doing it. You know, it's like when I've read a novel that I really appreciate, the first read is just absorbing the plot and the funny or sad or whatever it is, tragedy, whatever the exchanges and the dialogue. And then the second read is looking at picking it apart and seeing, you know,
the
craft of it, correct. And in radio, the craft I'm starting to appreciate when I listen to, like, I was just talking to my wife about this. We were listening to Terry Hammer. We were driving somewhere, and she's been on WXRT forever, you know, rock and roll disc jockey. Her timing is so good, and I'm just, like, really impressed by a lot, you know, Terry Hammer. Like, God, she's good, you know. I'll never be as good as Terry Hammer. My wife was, you know, she's been doing it her whole life. You just started, right. So.
The smoothness that comes
yeah.
with experience.
Yeah.
How long we've been doing this podcast? For almost 10 years. I've watched you in front of a microphone get more comfortable over that 10-year period.
Yeah, and you watched me do the show because you were one of the few, God bless you, come into the studio. Actually, now we're almost every day someone comes into the studio for the 3 o'clock hour. Tommy Tresher was in here today. You know, I know you know Tommy. We have Pat Quinn on Fridays, but you were one of the first to come in. So yeah, you saw me in front of a microphone once again.
With headphones.
Only this time I had headphones. You know, Dave never brought me headphones. I had to come to WCPT to get a headphone.
You got to trust me to see how you sound.
That is correct.
You're having guests, and I've noticed that a lot of the guests are some of the same kinds of folks that you write about, namely public officials and public employees and activists. How would you say that the people you would have on are different from the people that you write about, or would they be?
No. In fact, generally, I view it this way. My column works hand in glove with my radio show and vice versa. I'm addressing the same issues. When they hire me, they go local, local, local. But of course, WCPT, you know, has got such a reputation for national news, and our listeners are really
passionate
about national politics. Trump, Hillary, and Bernie is still a raging feud. So try to weave both together. Today, we talked TIFFs. Carlos Ramirez Rosso was on.
Alderman Rosso, 35th Ward.
35th Ward. We've talked about him in the past.
About tax increment financing.
We talked about tax increment financing, TIFFs, and his, what is it called? I forget. They have a very clever name for their coalition, like Stop Hiding the Funds or something like that. Or Free the Funds. That's it. Because, of course, Rahm is stockpiling all that money that he could use for the schools. So, you know, in many ways, they're carrying on what we started, you know, we've been talking about for 10 years. And then Tom Tresher comes on to promote his book. He's got this show that he's doing. He's taking his book, what is
Chicago's Not Broke,
and turn it into a, they're going to do an improv show.
So, I saw that.
Yeah. So Tom and one of the actresses that'll be in the show are in the studio. So, you know, it's very much a continuation of the work I've been doing for all these years at The Reader with more of a national and state. I'm much more into state and national issues than I traditionally am at The Reader. Although, you know, The Reader's been asking me to write more about national since Trump got elected. We had a sit down at The Reader right after Trump got elected and said, you know, we cannot ignore this. You know, we cannot just be parochial to Chicago. We have to think about the implications of this. And so I've been, for The Reader, writing more about national issues anyway. So it's all kind of working out.
How do you think the demographics of the WCPT listenership is different from that of The Reader? Any sense?
That's a great question. I do believe the WCPT audience is far greater in terms of just spread out the Chicago metropolitan area. And that's why it's really important for me when we do something like a TIFF discussion, I can't even presume that people know about it. You know, I always have the joke and the gag in the Reader articles when I come back to a subject that I've written about frequently. You know, okay, readers, I know you've know, I've written about this a million times, and, you know, I try to make jokes about it. I can't assume that our listeners know about tax increment financing or, I mean, Chicago's Olympic bid or, you know, the machinations of Mayor Rahm and the city council and how the aldermen are rubber stamps or the parking meter deal or all the things that I've written about so many times and we've talked about, or even bicycle jokes with you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just have to assume that they're getting it for the first time and take it from there. And then they're, at least the people who call in, are obviously on the left side of the political spectrum. I got one guy today who was giving me a hard time, said I'm too hard on Democrats, which is like, that's pretty funny, you know, because you tease me for voting for him. And I pointed that out. I go, all my Green Party friends give me grief because, you know, I vote for these hacks. And now you're saying I'm too hard. And the joke is, say one bad word about Bernie Sanders and I can't do it. I think it's an audience that's not as tied to Chicago or to Chicago politics. So I have to just sort of think broader, I suppose.
If you look at WCBT's website, they have a map of the broadcast footprint. There's, in addition to the, was it 820 AM? There's a 99.7 FM. There's like two or three FM frequencies, and they creep way out into the northwest suburbs. And so I guess you're listening.
Yeah, we get a lot of suburban callers. And so I've been talking about the Roscom race is really important. I actually just wrote about that for The Reader as well. That's the 6th Congressional District, which is in DuPage County, Henry Hyde's old seat. When I was on the air, there were municipal elections in the suburbs. We talked about Bolingbrook and Orland Park. And, you know, I'm just a political junkie. So on one level, I can get excited about a suburban race. You know, many people wouldn't.
And you hosted a show that was at a union hall in
Countryside.
Countryside.
Now, here I am, downtown Countryside. Never been to Countryside ever.
Where is Countryside?
You know, it's somewhere off a highway because a guy drove me.
So you didn't have to find it.
No, my buddy Chris drove me. He's one of the engineers here, really cool guy.
Got on a highway.
Yeah, I got in his car. I met him in Chicago. We got into his car. We were just talking nonstop. He's a great guy. And the next thing I know, I was there. So how did I get there? I don't know. What's the name of that road that goes past Midway?
The Stevenson.
It's off the Stevenson
somewhere.
So it's
southwest.
If you say so.
I have to confess, I've never been there.
Yeah, there was in a union hall. It was enormous union hall. I kept making jokes about it because it was so big. You know, here comes our airplane. It's going to land any minute. And got more response from the audience.
Keep it down in here, folks.
It was a lot of fun. That was a real challenge because there were so many people that I had to get in and off the microphones. It was constant turnover, and I was meeting many of them for the first time, and that was put together by the labor people, and we're going to do another one of those. It was fun.
It sounded pretty well put together. I mean, I listened to the whole thing.
Well, thank you.
What surprised you most about doing this gig? I'm sure there's been many unexpected things. You talked about the importance of timing, but is there anything that just like, whoa, I didn't think that was going to be this way?
Everything. I remember Bill Pinckney, the sailor. Years ago, I did a story about him. Really cool guy, sailor around the world. And he told me something. He goes, a sailboat is just a list of things that can go wrong. And a radio show is just a list of things that can go wrong. I joke about Yoda. You've met him. He's the station manager. He's been really helpful to me. He's always giving me advice. The big thing he says is you don't have to admit. You don't have to show the listeners or tell the listeners when something's going wrong.
Yeah.
And something's going wrong all the time. Absolutely all the time.
That's the thing I learned about teaching as a bicycling instructor. There's always in a presentation or a piece of equipment doesn't work, and your students will never know.
Never know.
Your audience will never know if you don't show them.
If you don't show them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of improvising in it. I got to tell you, I love the part of it that it's challenging. You know, you get a little nervous, but it's fun. It's a challenge. It's something brand new. So that, to me, is what I'm right there is just what's going to go wrong now? You know, who's going to be late? The microphone, oops, I didn't turn the mic on. You know, it's something I have to work on, turning mics on.
You got a very competent producer, though, it seems to me, Dennis.
Dennis is the man. He's just a great guy. He's funny. We share the same sense of humor. He's really into the radio, you know.
There's a medium.
Yeah. We did this bit today. He did it. He took this speech that Rauner gave. I don't know if you heard this. It's not even a speech. It's so bizarre, Dave. It's Rauner talking to a group of fifth graders or fourth graders or something. Have you heard this?
No.
Well, we played it today. We're probably going to play it a lot. And he's, do you know when I was a kid, my favorite pet was a snake?
I read that.
Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, you have to hear it. And then I know. Like, snake? And I fed him salamanders and frogs. I'm like, God damn, you're weird, man. You're our governor.
So you're only the first people who are going to use this. I can see this coming out in the gubernatorial race.
Oh my God. It's just, he sounds so weird. He is a weird guy. Dennis plays some eerie music over it. And it just, he did a
sets
great.
Sets the mood.
But see, that's what a radio guy does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's something like you would do. You know what I mean? You guys are into the medium. You're into just the equipment. You
how
know,
to use it.
How to use it.
Yeah.
He played it today on the air and I was just cracking up. I couldn't stop laughing. It's such a weird man, Rauner. What he's done to our state is horrible. It's not funny, but I guess at this point I had a laugh.
One more question about the radio gig. So before you started this, you were writing a weekly column. You were doing one or two blog posts a week for the reader, and you're doing your monthly panel discussion at the Hideout.
Yeah.
So now on top of that, you have 3 hours every weekday on the radio. What's your work situation been like, your work routine?
It's pretty busy. I work every day one way or the other. Like I said, the reader, they're in conjunction. A lot of times I'll do a column and then I'll have a guest that it was featured in the column on the radio show. They work well that way. I've done that every single time, actually.
That's a great synergy then.
Yeah. So for instance, Bob Diver, who campaigned for governor, I'm really interested in. I don't know if we've ever talked about him. He's the gentleman from downstate Illinois. He's running. And
he's the head of a school district.
Yes. He's regional superintendent, I believe his title is, in downstate Illinois. And before that, for years, he was a shop teacher, which I find fascinating that, you know, the whole world, like the worldview of a carpenter or a shop teacher is just interesting. That
like Jesus.
Yeah, I did not make the comparison, folks. Dave made the comparison. He went to Weber High School.
You say Carpenter.
Carpenter, right. I would think Karen.
I think of Karen or Jesus.
You know, I did the reader story about him, and then I had him come on the air.
Taking full advantage of those synergies.
Yeah, but I'm pretty busy.
Well, we're sitting here in the studios of WCPT. Our longtime listeners might notice that there are no L sounds in the background because we're in a soundproof room.
We missed them, yeah. Here we go for 10 trivia points. When did we once before tape in a soundproof room?
That was at the Harold Washington Library. It was in a piano practice room. Yeah, because we were both downtown.
Right.
Yeah. It had a little echo in it. It was interesting.
Yeah. I forget what the issue was, but whatever. But this is amazing, isn't it? The difference between this and my living room.
Yeah.
And the dog is not breathing or barking and the phone's not ringing.
I'll dub that all in later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ben, that's all we've got time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir, in our new environment.
Yeah. Listeners, we always welcome your questions and your comments and your suggestions for our future interviews. Our Twitter handle is CHIGOVT. Find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/insidegov. I'm Dave Glowetz. Thanks for listening. Break up, break down to the sound. 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 Break up, break down to the sound.